Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, it's easy to get to us at 419-389-0893. That's 419-389-0893. Or prayer@yeshome.com. That's prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. We just want to pray for you today. We're not trying to embarrass anybody or anything like that. So if you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come before you to lift up the needs, cares, and concerns before you and to know that you are there to hear from us, to receive from us, to attend to our every need. That, Lord, everything that happens in our lives matters to you, and that you are moving and working constantly in us and through us. And so, Lord, we thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise for this time that we have. Glory and honor and praise that we have this privilege of lifting these needs up before you. And pray that you will move with power and might in the lives of your children. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com to get those prayer requests in. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God to get our day started right, get our focus right. And we are looking at the book of Philippians. We've been making our way through the book of Philippians. And we're in chapter 3, verse 17. We're up to verse 17. We're going to finish up chapter 3 here. Paul is writing just a little background on the book. Paul is in prison. Well, he's not in prison. He's under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he's on trial for his life. He's in Rome, waiting, hearing before Caesar. And unsure of the outcome, hopeful, but still unsure of the outcome. Could very well be executed if things go badly for him. So it's an uncertain time, and a time fraught with peril. And yet he writes this book filled with joy, just overflowing with joy. And that's the main theme throughout the book of Philippians as he writes to the church in Philippi. So we're going to pick it up in verse 17 of chapter 3. He says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." And he actually goes on, I'll finish up in verse 4. "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." So a call by Paul to stand firm in the face of our world and our culture today. And his urging is to imitate those, follow those who live according to the pattern we gave you, who are living according to the Word of God, living according to their life. You know, who are the people you're patterning your life after? Are they people who have exhibited godly qualities, Christ-like qualities? You know, who are your heroes that you admire, that you respect, that you follow, that influence you? Are they godly people? You know, it's okay to, you know, be a fan of sports teams and athletes and stuff, but that doesn't mean we necessarily ought to pattern our lives after them. And there are many people in sports who are honorable, God-fearing people. We heard earlier today, if you're listening on the I Am Second segment that airs here, Tony Dungy was one of the people that they talked about. You know, Tony Dungy is a very strong Christian, very strong Christian. Outspoken about his faith, he's mentored and helped many people and has been very bold in his faith throughout his career, you know, and someone whose life reflects, you know, his relationship with Jesus Christ, someone worth patterning your life after. There are other athletes out there, not so much. You know, they may be excellent on the field, but do you really want to pattern your life after them? What is their life like off the field? Same in music, the same in movies, the same anywhere. Any kind of person that you might admire, are they worthy of that admiration? Because they are going to influence you. They will pattern your life. And so Paul is saying, look, if you're going to look to those people who are living for godly things, who are living for the kingdom, these are the people that you ought to be patterning your life after. Because it says, there's many who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And notice what these qualities are of the enemies of the cross of Christ. These aren't people that are necessarily out there warring against Christianity. They're not people out there denouncing Christianity and Christians. There's some of those people out there. But that's not really who Paul's talking about here. And notice how he says this. I have often told you before and say now again, even with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He doesn't say this with vitriol. You know, he's not saying this angrily, that these people are living as enemies. And it's like, here's the enemies that we need to destroy them. You know, like having an enemies list. And these are the people we got to take out and defeat. But rather, he says it with tears, with sorrow in his heart, that these people aren't following God. Sorrow in his heart that they're not living as ones who are patterning their lives after Christ, but are living as enemies of Christ. He says their destiny is destruction, and this grieves him. But notice why. There's three things. It says their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame, and their mind is on earthly things. When he says their God is their stomach, he's saying they're ruled by their desires. They're ruled by their desires. We all have desires in our life. Those all, you know, we have all kinds of desires. Physical desires, emotional desires. These aren't bad things. God has given them to us. You know, when we're hungry, we desire to eat. When we're thirsty, we desire to drink. You know, we desire friendships and romances. You know, for most of us, ultimately, we desire to get married. Not for everyone. Some call it singleness, obviously, but for most of us, desire to be married. We have all kinds of desires that God has placed within us, and they're not bad things. But we all know that those desires can become bad things when those desires rule over us. And when Paul says that their God is their stomach, he's saying they're ruled by their desires. Instead of controlling their desires and directing and channeling their desires in godly ways, their desires are ruling over them. Desiring food when we're hungry is a good and normal thing. It's a necessary thing. We would die without it. We never felt hungry and we never had to eat. How many of us would, you know, you just get busy, you stop doing it, stop eating? We need that desire for hunger. That's our body telling us we need more fuel. But we could also abuse that desire. Eating too much, eating bad things, allowing our stomachs to dictate to us instead of us dictating to them. You know, we have sexual desires that within the context of marriage between a husband and a wife is created by God to be a joy and a blessing. It's a good thing. Procreation of children, all kinds of wonderful things. And when it's channeled and funneled into God's design and lived out according to God's design, it is a good and wonderful thing. Taken outside of that, it becomes destructive. And we see that in our culture. You know, the whole hashtag Me Too movement is rooted in the fact that people's have allowed their desires to rule over them and cause them to behave in shameful ways. And so we need to, you know, those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ are those who are controlled by their desires. But more than that, he says their glory is in their shame. Think of the things that the world glorifies. The world glorifies sexual immorality. The world glorifies materialism. The world glorifies vanity. The world glorifies narcissism. The world glorifies selfishness. All things that should be shameful to us and cause shame within us, the world glories in. You know, we feel shame for a reason, because we've done something wrong. If I do something wrong, I'm ashamed. And that is a good thing. You know, we need that. That's a warning sign to us. So we feel that we can go to God and ask for his forgiveness and seek his restoration and seek his help, that we can be forgiven and made new, get back on the path, get back to where we need to be going. Now, we're not supposed to live in shame. I mean, shame is like a warning light on your car, right? The warning light comes on, you're supposed to get it checked out. You're not just supposed to keep driving around with the warning light on. You got to get it checked out, make sure everything's okay. And once you get it checked out, the light goes away. That's what shame does. It tells us something needs to be checked here. We go to God. He forgives us. We move on from that. We don't live in that shame because God has removed it from us. But the shame performs a vital function to say what we're doing is wrong. And when we understand shame in that way, and when we feel shame over things we've done, we recognize that means I've probably done something wrong and I need to go to God and get that straightened out. But when we glory in shame, when we glory in shameful things, when we brag about them, when we rejoice in them, when we glory in our shame, then we're saying we don't have any desire to change. We don't have any desire. We don't care that it's wrong. What should be shameful, we now brag about, which I think is a way to deal with shame, but it'll never work. You know, the only way to properly deal with shame is to go to the Lord and seek his forgiveness and repent and change our ways and ask him to help us and guide us and direct us. But if we're not willing to do that, that shame's not going away. We got to deal with it somehow. And so people glory in it. They try to turn it into something good. Planned Parenthood recently did a thing called Shout Your Abortion. It said, instead of feeling shame about this, you ought to shout it and proudly say you did it. Be proud of your abortion. Well, there's a reason we feel shame about those things. Now, that doesn't mean there's not forgiveness and grace from God. There is. But we have to recognize first that we need forgiveness and grace. And you can shout your abortion all you want, but it's not going to take away the shame. You can shout your immorality all you want. It's not going to take away your shame. You can shout your sinful lifestyle all you want. It's not going to take away your shame. Only when we come to the Lord in repentance do we and seek his forgiveness. Only then can that shame be removed. Because we're forgiven and made whole. But those who are enemies of the cross, they glory in their shame. And lastly, their mind is on earthly things. Like they care about the things of this world, not about the things of God. They're pursuing the things of this world, materialism, material things, status, celebrity, money, power, fame, sex, whatever. They're not pursuing the things of God. But as Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The resurrection, which we celebrate this week in Easter. We're not distracted by the world. We're not turned away by the world, but rather we're holding fast to the truth, modeling our lives after those who live according to the pattern of Scripture, according to the Word of God, seeking after Christ, eagerly anticipating his return when he will transform us once again and we will enter into glory with him. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking for that day when sin is finally eradicated in me, when we can live holy and righteous lives in the holiness and righteousness of Christ, free from the taint of sin and the curse of sin. And let's be honest, it's hard, but fighting sin is hard. It's exhausting at times. Won't it be nice when Christ returns and we're made glorious like he is and our wills are perfected in him, and no longer will we battle or fight with sin, for the old order of things will have passed away and we'll live with our will and our minds and our hearts in perfect alignment with God. This is what we look for and anticipate. This is our hope. This should strengthen us. And Paul says, therefore, my brothers whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord. With that hope held out to us, that we will struggle against sin now, but we will have victory in that struggle. We will be delivered from these sinful fallen bodies. We'll be delivered from our weaknesses and our failures. We'll be delivered from our shame and into glory. Our wills perfected, our souls perfected before the Lord to live gloriously before him without sin and shame and in the righteousness of Christ. And so we hold on to that hope. You're going to pattern your life after someone? Find someone who's living in that hope, whose focus is on the kingdom of God, who's living according to the pattern of Scripture and truth. That's someone we should be admiring. That's who you should be looking to, looking up to, respecting, patterning your life after. They should be our examples and our heroes. So let's turn and look to them and look to Christ and hold our hope in him, knowing that we will indeed be delivered. The struggle is now, but it's not forever. And victory is coming in Christ. Amen. And a number of requests come in. So let's just jump right in. First one, a listener asked for prayer for their adopted sister who broke the C4 in her neck. Dear Lord, would you lift this woman up to you who's suffered this injury? Obviously a very serious injury. Lord, we pray for your healing hand to be upon her. We pray you guard and protect her, that there be no lasting damage from this break, that you would heal it up, that you would not allow any other damage or any other problems to occur from this. And Lord, you would just guard and protect her health as she recovers from this. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Also, someone asking for prayer for a safe vacation trip to Florida with 3 sons and favor for their mother at court. So, Lord, we do lift this family up to you. First of all, we thank you for the blessing of this vacation. Pray they'll have a blessed time together. And, Lord, we pray that you would give them safe travels with their sons and the kids, deliver them safely to Florida and safely home. Bless their time together. And we pray for the mother who's facing some court issues. Lord, you know what those are. We just pray that you grant her favor before the judge, that the right decisions would be made, justice would be served, Lord, and that you would, your hand would be upon her to grant her favor before those she goes before. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And the last one, someone requesting prayer for the whole city of Shelby, Ohio, and any other city affected by the tornadoes that came through yesterday. Lord, we do pray for those who may have been affected by these tornadoes. We pray that you would watch over them. Lord, help them to recover. Help them to recover their homes. Any damages that may have been done, if anyone's injured, Lord, we pray that your healing hand would be upon them. We pray that you would raise up your people in these communities. That the church would rise up to help meet the needs of those who've been affected, that they would show the love of Christ even in the midst of this tragedy, and to help and to heal what has happened. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. We'll be back tomorrow. If you have prayer requests, remember, you can get that to us by calling the office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. As always, people here will be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. You can email or text at prayer@yeshome.com at any time. And you can always get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session by going to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. God bless everybody. Have a great day.